road trips are always a super fun experience because whenever you get to go onto a road trip, there's a certain rotation that falls into place. So let's say you're driving to, let's say, Toronto, because we're from Montreal and that's around the 5.5 hour to 6 hour drive. You know, you maybe choose 5 or 6 albums that you could run from start to finish. And then after that, you'll be at your destination. Or let's say, you know, from Montreal down to Florida, that's a 24-hour drive. I'm not sure if you want to listen to music for 24 hours straight, but, you know, you got to go with playlists, you got to go with album experiences, and you got to kind of curate a sound that's going to save you from the boredom of just kind of looking in the abyss. Obviously, there's certain road trips where there's beautiful settings, right? And you could drive across Canada and you could see the entire country, you know, just one straight line through. Or let's say you're going from, you know, Montreal to California. That's a whole different experience because you get to cross all the way through the United States.
That's a brutal one, though. That's like a 24-hour drive.
I know someone that did that, actually, yeah. And apparently it was a beautiful drive. So for today's episode, Lou and I are going to be going through the perfect rotation for road trips. So whether that's, you know, album experiences, I know, Lou, you have certain songs that you want to share, and, you know, just kind of a rotation to create a good energy within the car setting when you're doing those long distances. And guys, if you do enjoy this episode, rate us 5-star on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or anywhere else that you like to enjoy your audio exclusive episodes. And let us know in the comments, you know, what's your favorite road trip song of all time? Yeah. So Lou, let me ask you, man, what was your favorite road trip of all time? Like, what's a memorable one for you?
A memorable road trip? I mean, fuck, there's so many. I mean, I think the one that we did to Toronto was really fun. Just because it was eventful. It was a bit scary too because the roads were slippery.
Was that the first one that we had done?
I think that was the first trip to Toronto? Yeah, I think it was.
It was back in December of 2019, if I'm not mistaken, right? We had just opened up the platform. We were going to go do artist interviews in Toronto, local interviews. Man. And there was a huge blizzard that was just happening, you know, on the east coast of Canada, and we had gotten hit really hard with it. So if you guys are familiar with Montreal, as soon as you leave the city, you know, and then you start to leave the province, you hop on the 401, and the 401 takes you all the way to Toronto. It's literally one straight highway. And there's a whole show surviving the 401, which is fucking crazy considering, like, we did it a bunch of different times. And I mean, I think I only had my full license for what, like maybe a year at that point. Yeah. So I wasn't even an experienced driver. We're there like fucking 5:30 a.m., 5 guys in my dad's SUV, and all of a sudden the car starts to sway, dude. And like, I'm panicking because I'm like, how the fuck am I going to drive in this weather condition? Thankfully, a friend took the wheel for us and we got there safe, but that was a scary moment.
It was scary. I mean, like you said, it was a blizzard. The wind was going crazy. There was some black ice in the road. Like, it wasn't a smart decision at all to be fucking driving that
especially
day.
At our age. Yeah, think about that. You know, you have a son maybe like 18, 19 years old. Hey, dad, I'm going to take your SUV and I'm going to drive to Toronto with it on the 401, you know, in the middle of a blizzard. I tell him, you're staying home. Like, there's absolutely no way. Another fun road trip that we ended up doing, I believe it was for the first time we went to New York back in the summer of 2023.
I don't think I was there for that one.
No, summer of 2023 for the Reason interview.
Oh, that one, yes.
That was a fun one as well. We left super early. We drove maybe, 5.5 hours into New York. It's cool too because when you come in, you get all the scenery and everything, so that's fun. Another cool one we did was Detroit for the Hive Mind Boys.
Yep.
That was incredible. I mean, it was me, you, Brew, Nick, and Mark all kind of like fucking shoved into a Ford Explorer. And thankfully, like, I'm the bigger guy in the group, so I always get the shotgun pass, you know? So I'm always really, like, blessed to have that on my side. But you guys look fucking crammed in the back.
Oh, yeah, man. But honestly, like, when you're with the boys and you're excited for a trip, like, it's the least of your worries, bro. You get over it pretty quickly. But let me ask you this. Like, when it comes to all the road trips you've been on throughout your entire life, like, are there truly, like, certain albums or songs that stand out to you and that you've had in rotation for multiple road trips? Because when I look at it for myself, like, especially looking at the songs and albums that I brought in, I don't necessarily have like memories of road trips playing this music. It's more so like, well, every time that I was on a road trip, I never curated a playlist or like chose specific albums that were going to be incredible for road trips. But when I look at like my rotation now, I'm like, you know what? If I were to go on a road trip tomorrow, this is the shit that I would be playing.
Yeah. So to answer that question, I guess it depends the age and the time that I was taking the road trip. So for example, like looking at when I was 12 going to Myrtle Beach, right? I was in my Eminem discovery phase. Mm-hmm. So take something like an Encore and I would just absolutely junk it from like start to finish. You know, even when I was going to Myrtle Beach, let's say around that like 2012, 2013 time, Magna Carta came out that year and I was really imminent on like listening to that album. So like I was bumping that. So it kind of depends. Or for example, when we were going to Toronto, we were listening to a lot of Toronto music, let's say in the car, right? We were listening to 88 Glam, we were listening to Nav, we were listening to Houdini, Berna Benz. Like, we were just kind of getting into like the emotion and the feel of, let's say, going into Toronto and going to work. But as of late, like, what have you noticed about our rotations, like, generally? You know, because we've taken a lot of road trips together, right, for business and stuff like that. So, you know, what do you notice about my aux tendencies? Like, I'll tell you what I notice about yours. Like, what do you got going on?
I mean, in terms of your aux tendencies, I feel like as of late, it's sort of really diverted away from hip-hop. I feel like that's something that I've noticed, where you'll have a lot of like chill lounge music, you'll have the Mihalo playlist in rotation. Something that I've noticed that like we tend to do as a group collectively that we're all down for. If let's say it's Detroit, we're going to be spinning some Detroit music. We're going to be spinning some Eminem, some Royce da 5'9". If we're headed into New York and we're passing by certain landmarks, we'll be playing Jay-Z, we'll be playing Nas. Like we'll get into the spirit of whatever territory we're sort of going into. So right? That's something that's really cool.
That's really cool, because when we were driving in California too, like we were listening to, let's say, Regulate by Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
And we were listening to like Draco the Ruler. We were listening to Vince Staples. Like just getting into like that vibe. Like I think that's essential for any road trip, right? Is depending on where you're going and what setting you're in, you know, you kind of want to curate that. But I guess for my rotation today, I want to maybe bring some general fun albums to be able to spin while you're going on your next like road trip. You know, some really incredible recommendations that you're going to be able to play on a road trip tomorrow morning, or maybe even in like 15 years from now, mm-hmm. from when you guys are listening to this. So with that being said, let me start off with my first recommendation. And this is going to be Lahai by Sampha. The reason why I wanted to bring this album in is because I actually never brought this into a recommendations podcast, especially for our audio exclusive podcast, and we never really covered it all that much on the YouTube. I mean, we did the live stream with our community, and I've always kind of talked about it within, you know, the community live streams on YouTube, but I really wanted to dive in deep with this album on this one. And the reason why I think it would be a fantastic spin, especially for a road trip, is for how fucking sick the production is. And that's a big thing for me, especially in a road trip, right? Because not that you could get tired of lyricism, or you could get tired of, like, I don't want to say that, but you need something that's going to stimulate you. You need like an audio experience that's going to keep you immersed into the album. And that's what I feel like you're getting throughout this entire track list. So that's why I wanted to bring it in today. You have a question for me?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, while I do agree with you, I think it's more of a case of like when you're listening to music for like 7-8 hours, let's say, depending where you're going, you're going to naturally want to change genre. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to have like fucking hardcore hip hop,
no,
you know, in your ear for like 6 hours. Right. So I think that's why something like Sampha's Lahai is perfect for a road trip, because like you said, production's incredible. The way that he utilized snares on that album, like game changing.
The drums throughout this entire album are really incredible. Not only that, but the futuristic sounds that you're getting throughout this is really entertaining to listen to. Example, on something like a Satellite Business, like there's legitimately like outer space sounds and like satellite sampling, you know, throughout the project, which is really cool. Not only that, but there's a lot of character development from Sampha. So even if like you want to get into a narrative of an album and just kind of get lost with the writing, you could do that. Sampha's an extremely talented writer. And what's cool too is that, let's say for the hip hop fans that maybe want hip-hop recommendations, but they're looking for something else, this is the perfect bridge for you, because Sampha, you know, has collaborated with so many different hip-hop artists, whether it's Kendrick, most recently on Mr. Morale, looking at what he's done with Drake in the past, Kanye, like, I could keep going on with the names, but regardless, though, he is such a talented artist. Not only that, but for a lot of the piano riffs on this album, apparently he took care of them himself.
Oh, yeah, he's a great piano player.
And just,
sure,
you know, an incredible, you know, multi-instrumentalist. So it's really interesting to also observe his artistry in, like, real time. And if maybe you guys want to explore some songs off of the album that you could put into the rotation, for me, Dancing Circles is easily one of the best off the album. I would even say Jonathan Segal. That's one of my favorite as well. I also recommend the Satellite Business. And then after that, I would say Can't Go Back. The way that he repeats that Can't Go Back refrain for the intro is really cool. And the way that it kind of like has a dynamic shift midway throughout the song, it's super masterful. You're going to have a great time with it. It's nothing but quality. And I guess it also depends where you're gonna play this album. It might not be for everyone. That's like a little disclaimer. You know, it's an interesting album to listen to, but nonetheless, once it clicks with you, I don't think you're ever gonna put it down. And let me ask you one more question before we go on to the next recommendation. Is it still like your 2023 album of the year?
Absolutely, man. It's my favorite album to come out in 2023. I was playing it the other day. I just I love it, man. It really puts me at peace. What's interesting about Jonathan Siegel is that it's actually a novel. Mm-hmm. It was named after the novel, and apparently the moral of it is breaking free from societal limitations and pursuing your passions. And I feel like that speaks perfectly to the concept of the album. Is just like Sampha liberating himself from negative experiences, negative energy, and just having that sense of freedom carried throughout.
Accepting his past traumas and kind of carrying in like a new energy into his newfound like inspirations. And it's so fucking cool. It's a masterpiece of an album.
I think we said it was a perfect album when it came out. We didn't do a live album reaction. That was like the main piece of coverage we had done. I think we gave it a perfect rating, which... If we would have done the review, which maybe we should have, it would have been NFR's first perfect rating, bro.
It would have been.
But yeah, let me get into my first recommendation. And of course, I'm going to start things off with some hip hop stuff. And I have Lords of Flatbush by the Underachievers, their EP/mixtape that came out in 2013. And if you guys are not familiar, the Underachievers are a part of the Beast Coast movement. That it's made up of rappers Act the Savior and Issa Gold. And I was always familiar with them, especially through the Beast Coast album. But I was never really too tapped in with the catalog as a whole. I only heard like Lucy's here and there. Mm-hmm. So a couple of weeks back, I started to sort of tap in and I'm like, where should I start? And then I saw that they had collabed fully production-wise with Lex Luger for a full project.
That's
and I'm
crazy.
Like, what the fuck is this gonna sound like? Are they gonna go into like their Waka Flocka bag? Like, I was just so grabbed by that. And to think about how this applies to road trips, one major thing when you're the driver or the co-pilot and you're in the car, you need an album that's gonna keep you up, something that's really gonna keep you focused and sort of awake when you're doing long hours. And this is an album that does exactly that. What's interesting about this album is that if you want more, let's say, shallow trap oriented bangers that are a bit more like cliche lyrically, you have just Trunk Rattlers for the first four songs. Then you get into the latter four songs and that's when you're gonna get like the conscious hip hop, them going into the Third Eye themes and whatnot. And that's why I think this album is so crucial for a road trip experience, is that not only are you getting stimulated by these hard knocking beats by Lex Luger, which if you're familiar with his production work, I mean, you're getting these fucking bells, you're getting these crazy synth crescendos, the craziest bass all across the song.
I've never heard this album.
Oh, it's such a sick album, bro.
Is it really up there?
And what's cool too is that you get to see a different side of Lex Luger, because there's songs in here like Melody of the Free, which is like a piano-based jazzy beat.
That's crazy.
And you're like, what the fuck? Like, Lex Luger can make like some boom-bap shit if he wants to. I didn't know. So definitely check out this project, because like I said, not only will it stimulate you production-wise, but also lyrically speaking. And it's rare that you have albums that could bridge both of those gaps. Shout out to Act the Savior and to Issa Gold, because now they have me wanting to check out the rest of their catalog as a whole. So that's the first album that I wanted to bring in. By the way, favorite songs: Cold Crush, Fake Fans, NASA, and Melody of the Free.
Awesome.
What do you have next?
All right. Let me go on to my next recommendation. And this is going to be another album that we did a live album reaction to, I believe at the start of the year. And I was so impressed with it. And I'm like, this would be fucking so cool for a road trip. And this is going to be No Idols by Domo Genesis and The Alchemist. And this kind of went under the radar for us because this is obviously a re-release. The original album was released in July of 2012, or should I say mixtape. And The Alchemist has full of collaboration mixtapes and studio albums, but this is up there for me as one of my favorites. And more that I listen to it, I realize how much value you're getting throughout the entire project and what you could actually go into. So as a whole, I believe that on the original track list, there's 11 songs, and then there's a bonus one that got added on the DSP's version that released back in 2023. And the narrative of the album is very simple, not falling in love with, let's say, idols, and not falsely like idolizing people that you shouldn't be looking up to and sticking to your own morals and grounding and living your own life and your own path. And that's what Domogenesis is really preaching throughout the entire album. So that's what you could expect from that. As far as The Alchemist goes, wicked sample flips throughout the entire project on songs like example, like Elimination Chamber, which is an incredible posse cut with Action Bronson, Earl Sweatshirt, and Vince Staples. If you go through the track list as well, you realize that there's full of incredible, you know, features throughout the project that kind of keep you stimulated all the way throughout. And that's something that I really like for road trips is like, let's work through the album. I want to get to this next song because I want to hear this next feature. They're kind of like little checkpoints within the sequencing of the album. So it's always fun to go through this project and really enjoy it. Even something like Power Ballad with Smoke DZA, looking at, let's say, something like Till the Angels Come with that OG Freddie Gibbs verse and look, you know, having
every feature slapped.
Like every single feature on this album is crazy. The only one that I could say is like,
whatever.
You're going to be kind of like, well, what the fuck is this? It's Tyler on No Idols. And it's because this was more back in, you know, his Wolf days and more in like his Goblin era. So it's more of like that bombastic sort of brash, very in your face sort of Tyler. And he's using a kind of like a weird flow to be able to start off his verse, which I actually like. You were actually complaining about
it's probably
it.
Probably the weakest feature on the album. But
regardless, though, even something like The Daily News with Action Bronson, Earl, and Space Ghost Perp, it felt like Domo got all of his closest collaborators for one mixtape and just had a great time with it. And there's even really cool studio pictures that surfaced of like them all having fun cooking this together. And that's what it feels like. It feels like a group chilling. And if you're, let's say, taking a road trip with the boys, this is something that you're going to want to be playing in this setting because it's going to be kind of reminiscent of that to a certain extent. It's very raw. It's very genuine. You know, you could have fun with it and even pluck out songs, for example, like Me and My Bitch, for example, where he's kind of using the parallel of marijuana to his love for his woman. And it's cool the way that the writing is set up and like just these little parallels that, you know, kind of like amp the thought provocation, if I could kind of say that, you know? So that's why I wanted to bring it in. It's a great recommendation. Thank you, Lou, for putting me on. I'm super glad that we got to do it. And honestly, on our next road trip, I think we're going to have to whip it on.
Fuck yeah. Let me ask you this. Like, now that we've had time to sit with it a bit, like, how high does it rank in all-time mixtapes? Because it's not really like, it's not, I don't think it's as far down as we think, bro.
No.
It's really a serious mixtape.
Top 40, top 30.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I
top
think it's
30,
really,
top 40.
And that's a big statement. Top, like, there's a lot of mixtapes that came out in our era, bro. So,
well, there's also a lot of people from this era of hip hop that have a deep appreciation and love for this project. So, I'm having a good time with it as always, and it's just super fun to be able to go through it again. But go on to your next one, Lou. What do you got?
Absolutely, another project. I don't know if it's considered like an album or an EP. It has the length of an album, but I think it's listed on Wikipedia as an EP. Mm-hmm. But this is gonna be Yacht Rock 2 by The Alchemist. Came out in 2019. And this is an album that you're going to want to listen to just, you know, based on its presentation. If you're traveling, the fact that the album cover is literally a view of like this beautiful rocky beach and you have a title that says Yacht Rock 2, you kind of know what you're expecting.
You know what you're getting
right
into
off the bat. Absolutely. And this is a solo Alchemist project, 12 songs, and he pretty much got, like he tends to do, some of his best friends to hop on as features, and you get the likes of Action Bronson, Rock Marciano, the Griselda Boys.
Uncle Al is such a sick artist to bump for road trips.
Bro.
It's the production that gets you.
It's the world building, too. And like that's what's crazy is that he literally starts off like this album with like this funny commercial where you have like DJ Khaled speaking about like a luxury boat that he has. Like you have different snippets of people talking about sort of, it feels like a commercial for like different yachts and boats. And what's crazy is that throughout this whole experience, it's like a laid-back cruise, bro. It has amazing sequencing. It has a cohesive sound. And what I love is that every rapper is playing into the theme of being on vacation. Like, for example, you have Boldy James on a song like Ocean Prime. And he's like sort of juggling back and forth between rapping about upscale cuisine and then traveling over the waters. Apart from that, my favorite song on here is Stugatz, which is named after Tony Soprano's boat.
Stugatz.
But it's spelled, I don't know why he spelled it that way in the show, but it's spelled on his boat. If you guys ever watch The Sopranos.
S-T-U-G-A-T-Z.
No, S-T-U-G-O-T-S. And that's the same way that it was spelled for the track list.
Well, Stugatz in Italian is like my cock.
Stugazzo.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they spelled it differently in the show and also for this song title. I guess it's like the American version of Stugats. It's the same thing with like Capicollo, Gabagool.
Yeah, that's so weird, bro.
It's so weird, but
because,
yeah,
like,
it's
even,
like...
I was watching a series with... What the fuck's his name, bro? I was talking to you about it the other day. Italian actor. What the fuck's his name? Anyways,
Italian actor.
He has a new cooking show on CNN, and like my father and I were watching it, and they pronounce it fucking... It's Capicollo.
Yeah, it's Capicola, of course.
Like, you're not fucking around there.
It's not Gabagool. But that's the thing. It almost turned into like a New Jersey dialect, which doesn't even make sense.
If my child would ever ask me for fucking Gabagool, I would tell him, bro, stop it. Like, there's no, we're not doing this.
Unless it's being said ironically, yeah, I would be like, what the fuck are you saying? You know, but no,
it's Capicola, Soprasata. Like, no, there's ways to pronounce your Italian.
Listen, like,
you know?
I'm going to make sure that like my kids speak better Italian than I do. Like, that's a real goal of mine. Keep the culture alive.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, back to that. You have Willie the Kid, who's just spitting about like navigating through life as if he's a legendary explorer and just like giving you these crazy bars all throughout it. And to be honest with you, like, we spoke about Call Me If You Get Lost and how it gives you that feeling of being on vacation. Like, this did it before Call Me If You Get Lost.
Awesome.
Like, this was Call Me If You Get Lost before Call Me If You Get Lost. And it just, the best way I could say is that it has a luxurious chill vibe. And you're getting incredible performances all throughout it. So this is a must listen if you guys are a fan of The Alchemist.
All right. Let me keep going on with this. So this is actually an album that you told me before this episode that you wanted to bring in. So I'm happy that we get to both speak about it. And this is going to be Oracular Spectacular by MGMT. And this is such a fun album to listen to. It takes me back to my childhood. And there's just so much to talk about with this album. So let me know, okay? Because I obviously have my verdict on why I think it's a fun road trip album. But when you were considering it for this episode and to bring it in, what were you looking at within the track list and like how fun it is to listen to, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just like the vibe that they set out. Like, it just, it feels like upbeat party music that you could really use to sort of get your mood up, get yourself excited, and get yourself in a zone where you get to sort of maybe be immersed in the scenery, because it's a very like, it's a very visual album. Like, just all the sonics really create.
Do you want to go through actually all the subgenres of this album considered like technically on this?
Crazy.
And it's a super like complex album to understand regardless of how accessible it is.
Mm-hmm.
The production is super complex when you really break it down. So neo psychedelia, indie pop, indie rock, electronic rock, psychedelic pop, psychedelic rock, glam rock. Those are kind of all the subgenres within the actual project itself. And you know what's cool about this too is that for road trips, it's fun to be able to sing along. Fuck it, sing along, man.
Yep.
Like, get into the groove of things, like, get into the music, have fun with it. You have incredible songs.
Favorite song? What is it?
Oh, I think it's going
to be Electric Feel for me.
I think it's always going to be Kids.
Yeah,
it's always going to be Kids.
That's like the mainstream basic pick, but it's acceptable.
Because I was like 7 when this album released, so that was obviously the song I was listening to. It was the only thing I fucking knew, so I'm not going to like lie all these years later.
That nostalgia's
like,
hitting, yeah.
Oh, but Electric Feel is probably the most impressive song off of the album for me, and they actually released 3 songs after the album dropped as singles, and it was Time to Pretend, Electric Feel, and Kids, which are still the biggest songs off the album to this day. And, you know, it was just a huge debut album for MGMT. They released it back in October of 2007. And it's just really cool because when you go through this, you get this youthfulness through MGMT throughout the entire project. You know, example on songs like Electric Feel, talking about the feeling of being with like your first lover and being with a woman and like what that actually, like that stimulation feels like on a higher level. Talking about Kids and just, you know, recapturing that youthfulness and being a child again and like, you know, don't take more than you have to and like really less is more and keep it simple. Like these beautiful messages that are going to be, you know, super prominent throughout your entire life. And it's always a fun project to be able to go through.
Absolutely.
And it's only 10 songs. So what the fuck does it take for you guys just to whip this on?
They actually just dropped a new album, man. I haven't...
I added it to my Apple Music. I haven't gone through it.
Yeah, I have to check it out. I feel like it might be a darker vibe just based on like the album art. Might not be as upbeat as this one, but yeah, nonetheless.
Loss of life.
Yeah, it sounds a bit fucking bleak to me. But I mean, I'll always give them the time of day for sure.
Okay, go
but all right, next recommendation for me. Let me hop into... there we go. This is going to be Peru Peace Control Remix by Fireboy DML and Peace Control. And this is a song that I found on social media, bro. I found it maybe scrolling through TikToks, IG Reels. It was one of those discoveries that I was really happy about. But essentially, it's an Afrobeat song that ended up getting an EDM remix. And I can't get enough of it, bro. It has like these amazing summer vibes. There's looped vocals.
Did you show me this today?
No, I don't think I did.
I gotta have to play
it. I was playing it on my headphones, so maybe you caught a glimpse. But I love Fireboy DML's inflections. They sort of remind me of like a Prime Akon, which really takes me back to an era of like in the early 2010s where I was a fucking massive Akon fan. Production is pretty simple. It just has bass, drums, and piano keys until you get these synths that end up kicking in. But the beat overall just has a crazy bounce to it. It's very groovy. It's very chill. And after hearing this, I'm like, fuck it, bro. Like, I need to find more Afro EDM crossover songs because this is like the first of its kind that I really discovered and enjoyed to this capacity. So it's just a great song to vibe out to, especially if you're taking a road trip in the summertime and you want something that's really going to just match that vibe. This is a song for you.
Beautiful.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. You're going to have to give me that recommendation.
Absolutely.
After, but, okay, let's say you're taking a road trip with your girlfriend. You know, it's possible for anyone on this podcast that's listening and you guys are couples, whatever the case may be. You know, and sometimes I know the gentlemen get kind of frustrated with their ladies because, you know, they want to play a certain rotation and like you're kind of like, well, fuck, like I'm just not down for this, you know, and like it happens all the time. But I think I found you guys in a good middle ground. And you guys know I'm a huge Sade fan. I'm listening to her music on a daily basis, fucking change my life and my whole perspective on music. And I've started to really get into Naomi Sharon. And I believe I have brought in Time and Trust into one audio podcast, but I've never talked about Obsidian as a whole. I was talking to a friend on IG and she was a massive Sade fan. And I'm like, listen to this. You know, if you're into Sade, like this is right up your alley. It's legitimately like, you hear the inspiration right away, right? Like that deep, profound 90s R&B influence. And it's sprinkled all throughout the project. And you have 13 songs on Obsidian, released by Naomi Sharon. She's signed to OVO, if you guys didn't know already. This released back in October of 2023. And this is just a beautiful album. It's lush. The production is absolutely incredible. Kicking off the album with Definition of Love. If This Is Love, like you just, you get, like, I'll read you through the titles and, like, you'll understand, like, the point of this album. Definition of Love. If This Is Love, Another Life Is Incredible, talking about her, you know, potentially meeting her lover in another lifetime from now and then being kind of bonded and, you know, put together in an eternal, let's say, time space. I don't know how the fuck you want to word it, but even something like Time and Trust, one of my most played songs of 2023, especially towards the end of it, and just talking about, you know, finding your lover and kind of being calm when you have it. And that's what I like about the album is that it's very personal. It's a beautiful album to listen to. And if you guys are taking a road trip together, whatever the case may be, this is an album that both of you guys could enjoy. You can't escape good music, you know?
Has she ever admitted that like she's like really heavily inspired by Sade?
Oh, for sure.
Because it's almost impossible to ignore. You know?
It is, for sure. It's like when you first hear her sound, it's like, what the fuck? I feel like I'm listening to Sade in 2024.
Literally.
She's obviously not nearly as good as a vocalist, you know, as Sade, in my opinion.
She's still a great vocalist.
She's an incredible vocalist. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but
Sade is a different class, though.
Like, there's
not many people in that class.
Yeah, Sade is one of the best R&B artists of all time, you know? So it's interesting to see the way that Naomi is kind of like shaping out her career and what she's going with. So shout out to her. This is a great album to be able to play, and it's very soothing. It's very relaxing. Maybe sometimes driving could be stressful, you know, it could be tiring, you could get frustrated, can be frustrated when you listen to an album like this. So, and hey, listen, it creates a good mood between you and your partner. Have fun with it. That's all I can say.
You know what? It's funny is that I'm going to go for a totally, completely different vibe, something that might get you a bit rattled and a bit upset. So when it comes to hard rock, heavy metal, I'm not really someone that's, you know, tapping into the scene, what's modern, what's new. It's not really my favorite style of music, but of course I have my classic rock albums that I really enjoy. But when it comes to this album, this is going to be Songs for the Deaf by Queens of the Stone Age. Came out in 2002, and this is one of those albums that I just saw so much conversation about all across the community. People saying that it's the best rock album of the 21st century. People just raving about it, and I'm like, you know what? Even though, you know, metal and hard rock isn't necessarily my favorite genres of music, people are raving about this album, and I want a fucking new experience. I want to challenge myself and go into a fresh album, and I'm like, fuck it, let me do it. So what I love about this album after spinning it a few times is the fact that it's super cinematic. Like, the album starts off and you have a character who is in Los Angeles. You hear him getting into his car, slamming his door, turns on the radio station. And throughout the album, you're pretty much listening to different radio stations. And there's these crazy transition points where it sounds like you're the character listening to the radio station and the mix is super low. But then maybe 10, 20 seconds later, that radio station song becomes the full mix of the song.
That's awesome.
And what's incredible about this and the way
This is in the sequencing of the album.
This is in the sequencing of the album. What's incredible about this experience is that like the main character, which you could say is the lead singer, Josh Ohm, he's literally on a road trip. He's literally on a road trip, road trip essentially throughout the deserts of California. He's going from somewhere in a desert in LA all the way to the Joshua Tree, and he's making that trip. Cool. And the idea of this is that he's going through like a very tumultuous breakup. It's a very tough time, and like his ultimate destination is that Joshua Tree so that he could have just peace of mind, quiet, and be able to reflect on where he's at in his life.
Was he recording this on the road while he was doing it?
I'm not sure about like the details of like the making of the album. It's a pretty fresh experience for me up to this point. But what's cool is that Dave Grohl is actually a founding member.
If you guys didn't know,
Dave Grohl, of course, was a drummer for Nirvana, as well as Foo Fighters. So incredible stuff there.
Legend.
Apart from that, what else did I want to say about this album? Yeah, I just wanted to talk about different standouts. So on the second song, you have Nick Oliveri, who is sort of like second in command as a singer. And it's literally like him just screaming and shouting about wanting more tequila and sounding like a raging alcoholic over these electrifying guitars. And there's a lot of moments of sort of more mainstream rock, but also more heavy metal stuff. So it gives you a good range of modern rock as
a whole.
And how's
the heavy metal stuff for you?
It's not my favorite.
Okay, so you find yourself maybe more on
The hard rock slash mainstream rock. That's more accessible, I would say.
So more pop rock.
Absolutely. But yeah, just amazing messages throughout this entire track list. And the instrumentation is next level, bro. It's really incredible. So check out the album if you guys haven't. Songs for the Deaf.
All right. Let me keep going on with this. I'm going to go into my last recommendation for today. This is going to be another album for you. And you're very familiar with this album, and so am I. But I think that, especially for new hip-hop listeners that are maybe getting into Dreamville, you know, you might really want to bump this. And I was playing this a lot when I was working at FedEx, actually. I used to play it in the car at FedEx. So, I mean, I can imagine how good it would be on road trips, because it's a really fun, you know, album to drive to. And that's going to be Too High to Riot by Boz,
nice.
Released back in March of 2016. This is his sophomore album. And, of course, you guys are familiar with Boz, you know, one of the biggest members of Dreamville. His contributions to hip-hop have kind of, like, sprung on for the past decade now. Really a memorable and just a fantastic rapper from the East Coast. And what's so cool about this album is that it's accessible as fuck. There's really, like, there's no skips on this project because of how tight and concise it is. It's only 12 songs. You could start it from front to back. And then after that, there's also incredible collaborations on here. Example, Causes verse on Dopamine, or J. Cole on Night Job, for example. That flow switch that he hits at the end when he's talking about the release date parties and like how he gets super quick with it. I just love to see that. Even something like Ricochet with the Hicks. Just incredible collaborations all the way throughout. And, you know, it's kind of Boz taking you through his psyche and like what he's feeling. It's very loose and free feeling, if you get what I'm trying to say. And it's such an interesting album to go through because it's very accessible. You guys are going to have a lot of fun with it. I really wanted to bring this in because I don't do much Boz coverage, especially when it comes to, let's say, recommendations, because you guys are all familiar with his music. But take this into a road trip. It's super fun to go through. It's very somber when it comes to the production. Example, on something like Methalone, you know, that's an incredible song talking about putting the hard drugs down and, you know, kind of bettering himself. It's really a fun album to go through. So
absolutely,
Too High to Riot. That's going to end off my recommendations.
Next up, I want to talk about specifically one song from the album, but this came to me just because last week I was driving back from the studio and I was bumping Summertime 06 by Vince Staples.
Oh, nice.
And I told you that story of when I ended up getting pulled over. And what's pretty funny is that I was literally listening to North North when I got pulled over, and like the part of the song that was playing was the hook which says, I never run from nothing but the police. Like, I literally had that exact moment I got pulled over for running a stop.
The cop pulls you over listening to Vince Staples. You know, the officer was like, what the fuck's going on? You know,
bro, it was hilarious. I'd done an American stop. It was a very light ticket, just to say. But it was just, it was so ironic that at that exact moment, those were the words I was hearing. But yeah, listening to that album, you know, recently in the whip showed me how much I love that project and how exciting it is at every turn. Vince really made it an experience, and he really gives you a good range of like more frantic performances, more subdued performances.
Yeah, it's cool.
But the song that I wanted to sort of highlight out of the whole album, but that being said, the whole album is great to listen to for a road trip. Jump Off the Roof featuring Snow Allegra.
Oh, crazy fucking song.
That's my favorite song off of the album. The instrumental from No ID is insane. You have this unsettling energy, and you have these cowbells. You have a West Coast-inspired beat. And what I love about the song is that it's literally like Vince Staples fighting for his road to redemption. Like, he's having serious withdrawals to the drugs that he's taking, and he's literally, like, begging God for him to find solace and to have a second chance in life. And I think Snow Allegra has a very crucial feature, too, because she comes on in the bridge and tries to convince him that he has a lot to lose because she's playing the role of his girlfriend. And Vince just plays perfectly into the subject matter. You could hear that he sounds desperate in his delivery. And just narratively,
incredible
the song is brilliant. The
incredible
hook
song.
Is really moving. And yeah, guys, Vince Staples. And by the way, you should check out that show, The Vince Staples Show. It's a good one, bro. Honestly, it's 5 episodes, 20-minute episodes.
Well, that's it. I had seen you watching it on the plane.
Really enjoyed the experience. It's funny. This is not really a spoiler. It's kind of it's been in the previews. There's one episode where he goes into a bank to try to get a loan. And the bank ends up being held hostage. Like, there's a bank robbery, and he ends up knowing, like, the bank robber, and they get into a conversation. It's hilarious. But just to say, Vince Staples makes great music for the role. But yeah, it's going to sum up the episode. And we could do, like, fucking 10 parts of this episode.
Yeah, I could do
bro.
Part 2, part 3, part 4, part 5, part 6, part 7.
Crazy.
You name it, I could do it. I've played so much music on the road as time has gone on. It's my favorite time, you know? Especially, like, when we did that Late Night Drives episode, it's some of my favorite episodes to put together. So, guys, with that being said, we have a catalog stacked, and I mean stacked, of recommendation podcasts. Whether it's this one, the Late Night Drives, as I said, 20 perfect love songs. Like, you know, the catalog is actually getting really developed right now. And we want to thank you guys for that because, you know, you guys are giving us the opportunity to be able to speak about our rotations, what we're bumping, and just kind of understand us as music listeners a bit more and to be able to relate to us a bit more. So, much love to everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode. I hope you guys haven't gotten bored yet, and we'll catch you in the next one. Peace.